What a friend we have in Jesus. Indeed. Thank you, Max, for leading us in that beautiful, uplifting hymn, which reminds us of the fact that we, as children of God, have a friend in Jesus. It's interesting to note that in 1857, Joseph Scriven wrote the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And did you know that when he wrote the words of that hymn, that he did not even intend for it to become published? Did you know that? You see, when Joseph Scriven wrote the words to the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, he wrote those words in a text as a letter of comfort to his mother, who was diagnosed with a serious illness. And although he never intended for this hymn to become published, it later did become published, and it has become one of the most popular hymns that is often sung by God's people today. And this hymn reminds us of the fact that there is no greater friend than that of Jesus Christ. So with the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, pressed upon our minds this afternoon, let's take just a few moments to go to the Scriptures, to take a look at some passages that remind us of the friend that we have in Jesus. And when I think about the friend that we have in Jesus, I cannot help but to think about the words of Jesus himself, which David so ably read for us a few moments ago there from John chapter 15 and in verse 13. And there Jesus himself said, Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Think about that. Jesus says that there is no example of greater love than for one to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that, didn't he? He did that for you and I. He died for us. It's interesting to point out that the Greek word found there for the word for denotes in place of. And we learn that Jesus informing us of the fact that greater love has no one than for one to willing die in the place of another. He did that so that we can have that hope of eternal life in heaven. He did that so that we can have the assurance of going to a place where the soul of man never dies. And it is because of that that we can sing with confidence, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You see, as Doug pointed out in his prayer a few moments ago, Jesus, his sacrifice for you and I was the ultimate sacrifice. It was the ultimate sacrifice that this world has ever known. And it was the most ultimate sacrifice that the world has ever known simply because of the fact that it was Jesus who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, as we sung just a few moments ago in the hymn. It was Jesus who was wounded for our transgressions. It was Jesus who was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Think about that. That exemplifies what a friend we have in Jesus, being reminded of the fact that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, that he was wounded because of our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. This comes from a text that is very familiar to many of us there in Isaiah chapter 53. And here in Isaiah chapter 53, beginning there in verse Number four. The inspired prophet informs, surely he, that being Jesus the Christ, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Why was he smitten by God and afflicted? Well, notice, he was wounded for our transgressions. That's why. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, when I think about this passage that we just read here in Isaiah 53, when I am reminded of the fact that Jesus borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, I can't help but to think about what Paul says there in Romans chapter 5. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Romans chapter 5, and notice these inspired words of the apostle, beginning there in verse number 6. There Paul said, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and I. He died for the ungodly. Paul goes on to say, verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps a good man, someone wouldn't even dare to die." Think about that. Paul said, it's going to be a scarce thing for one to be willing to die for one who's righteous. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But yet Christ died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. And it is because of that that we learn in verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. But I also suggest to us, what a friend we have in Jesus. For as Paul informed there in Ephesians chapter 2, that he himself is our peace. Think about that. Notice these words of Paul found recorded for us there in Ephesians chapter 2. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14, the apostle Paul, in reference to Jesus Christ, said, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." Let's stop here for a moment. What Paul is telling us here is that Christ has made peace between the Jew and the Gentile. That's what he's telling us here in this text. That he's telling us that he's broken down that middle wall of separation. He has in himself created one new man from the two, thus making peace. But not only did Christ make peace between the Jew and the Gentile, but he's also made peace with us sinners, with God, as we go on to see in verse 16. And he says, "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body." How? Through the cross. "Thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Think about that. You see, by the death on the cross, Jesus provided a way of reconciliation for us. It was by his death on the cross that we can be reconciled to God. And Paul made it very clear that he himself is our peace. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. But I also suggest to us, what a friend we have in Jesus, in the fact that he is the only mediator between God and men. You see, as the song alluded to a few moments ago, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Indeed, what a spiritual blessing, what a privilege it is as a child of God to be able to carry everything to God in prayer. And how is that available? Because of Jesus. You ever think about that before? You see, Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. We learn about this there in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 5. And when I think about that, I am reminded of the fact that it is because of Jesus that we can carry everything to God in prayer. But I also suggest to us this evening, what a friend we have in Jesus, because it is He who is our great high priest. It is He who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Are you aware of that? You should be. In the adult Bible study class this past quarter, you've been going through the book of Hebrews. I'm sure you've spent ample time this past quarter talking about Jesus being our great high priest. I'm sure you spent time talking about the fact that Jesus, He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because as we learn there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, He was tempted just as you and I are tempted, yet without sin. You see, Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He experienced it, didn't he? He experienced every form of temptation that we experience today. Yet He didn't yield to that temptation, did He? He didn't give in to that temptation which gave birth to sin, did He? Giving us an ultimate example to follow. But it is also because of that He can sympathize with our weaknesses. It is because of that He is touched by our infirmities and helps with our burdens. Think about that. Be mindful of the fact that Jesus, our great high priest, is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. And because of that, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. But I also suggest to us this evening, what a friend we have in Jesus, in the fact that He is the author and finisher of our faith, in the fact that He endured the cross for us. You see, Jesus, He is the leader and perfecter of our faith. He is, as the Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews 12, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice with me for a moment the inspired words of the Hebrews writer found recorded for us here in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. And here in the context here, the Hebrews writer is encouraging those Christians in the first century to keep on keeping on. He's encouraging them to not give up the race, but to keep on running. And here in verse 12, or chapter 12 rather, and in verse 1 he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." How do we do that? Well, notice verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. To be simply put, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He is the author and finisher of our faith, who the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember that, brethren. When the going gets tough, remember to redirect your focus upon Jesus and run with endurance that race which is set before you. And don't forget to consider Him, that being Jesus, the one who is the author and finisher of our faith, the one who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, as we see there in verse number 3. I really want you to take that instruction to heart, brethren. You see, we all recognize that there's going to be some difficult times. There's going to be some trials and afflictions that's going to come along the way that sometimes it may be hard to bear. But I want you to remember, when you're going through various trials and affliction, for you just to stop and to consider Jesus. Consider Jesus who endured the cross for you and I. Consider the agony that Jesus endured for you and I. We spent some time this morning in the teenage Bible class talking about the agonizing death of Jesus. We spent some time this morning in the teenage class talking about what was involved in the crucifixion of Jesus. How it was a brutal, agonizing death. But yet Jesus endured that cross. Why? For you and I. He did it for us. And when you think about the various trials or afflictions that you may be experiencing in your life, stop for a moment and reflect upon what Jesus endured on that cross for you. You see, there's not a one of us who has ever experienced what Jesus has experienced upon that death on the cross. And that is why we need to be mindful of the fact to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Consider Him who endured such hostility for sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Because I venture to say, brethren, when you seriously take to heart and consider what Jesus did for you, not only will you recognize what a friend you have in Jesus, but you'll also recognize when you're going through various trials and afflictions in life that you don't have it that bad. Remember that. And never forget what a friend we have in Jesus. Indeed, we do have a friend in Jesus. But there's a condition to being a friend of Jesus. And that condition is to be one who keeps His commandments. Again, going back to the text that David read for us a few moments ago from John chapter 15, we learn there in verse number 14 where Jesus Himself said, "You are my friends if..." Notice that. That's the smallest, biggest word in the Bible. If. That's a conditioned word. If. If what, Jesus? You do whatever I command you. You see that? What a friend we have in Jesus if we keep His commandments. And not only what a friend we have in Jesus if we keep His commandments, but Jesus also said, "You are my friends if you do what I say to do." Once more, what a friend we have in Jesus. Therefore, may we all always strive to do whatever He says. Let's not be one who tries to negotiate with the commandments that Jesus has laid forth. Let's not try to get around them, but rather let's be one who practices all that He has commanded us to do. Let's be one who does what He says. For as Jesus Himself asked there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say?" That's a good question, right? That's a good question. Let us be mindful of the need to do all that He has commanded, remembering that He Himself has said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do." And my friends, I'm here to tell you this day that there is no greater friend than that of Jesus Christ. So I now ask the question, what about you? Can you honestly say, "What a friend I have in Jesus"? Can you? If not, why not? For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men this very hour. And you can put Christ on through baptism tonight. You could be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you too can say, "What a friend I have in Jesus." And may we all always be mindful of the need to continue to keep on keeping on. The need to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus Himself promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this evening who once submitted their lives in obedience to Jesus, but you've stopped doing what He has commanded to do. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. You're encouraged to once again do what Jesus has commanded to do, so that you too can again be a friend of Jesus. And if there would be one here this evening who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be known now while making your way towards the front while we stand and sing the song Max is Selected.